What a great summer for this nomad, the summer of 23. I know it's been hot. I know there's been storms. I know there has been humidity and will continue to be. I know there's been fires in Canada and smoke. And if you watch the news, well, you'll get the impression it hasn't been a very good summer. But as a nomad, one of the things that we can do is avoid all sorts of things. And so by sheer luck, I've been able to avoid a lot of the heat and even the smoke, although I kind of think the smoke in various parts of the country that I've been in has actually made it more interesting. It certainly made the sunsets more interesting, and it certainly makes it look more interesting than perhaps a quote-unquote normal summer. We'll talk about all of that in podcast 1111, the Bob Davis Podcasts. I'm going to start out the podcast very quickly by just saying thanks for the donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. This is making a big difference right now because it goes directly into the tank, and I really appreciate the people who have made donations. One recently was $25. They won't even say who provided it, so thank you, whoever you were. An anonymous contribution. $20 from Michael Murphy. Thanks, dude. That was wonderful. $10 from Mike Schoon, who said, you're an inspiration. I'm a 26-year-old Dutch guy with zero motivation to live in this dystopian world. And I hope to follow my heart and do what you do in the USA, live free. There's a lot of cool places in Europe. And I think you should check out the curly-haired camper. I think that's her name on Instagram. She does some great stuff. Her and her husband have done amazing things. I've watched them for a while, so check them out. Thomas Modine, thanks for $25. Brandon Sabata, who's working on his rig right now, $5. Thank you, sir. And if I didn't mention you, I will get to you at some point in the future. If you want to make a donation, just go to thebobdavispodcast.com. If you're on a computer, on the right side of the page is a picture of Mobile Podcast Command, the ambulance, underneath that a big donate oval. Click on that. That takes you to PayPal. That's the payment processor I use for the time being. That's what we're working with. You can set up a monthly donation or just do whatever you want to do. I appreciate anything you can give is great, and I appreciate it. If you're on a device, like a handheld device, you got to go, like a phone, you got to go all the way down to the bottom. The donate window is at the bottom of the page. So scroll all the way down till you see the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. And if you want to help, subscribe to me on YouTube, subscribe to me on Instagram. I don't really care about Facebook, but yeah, I'll take the what do they call that when you follow somebody? You can follow me on Instagram. That really helps. YouTube, that really helps. And of course, subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast audio podcast on iTunes, Spotify. I don't remember who it was, but somebody said, hey, don't forget to tell people about Audible, that you can get the Bob Davis Podcast on Audible through the virtual assistant, Alexa. You just ask Alexa to find the Bob Davis Podcast, and you're off and running. It's on Audible. And I've heard really good reports about Audible, so I hope they're up to date. Let me know if they aren't, and we will get on that. So in this podcast, I'm going to talk about summer a lot. But in the plumbing business, summer is basically over. There's no need for air conditioning checks. By now, you know if your air conditioning works, right? So let's reset, because it won't be long before you guys in Minneapolis-St. Paul will have to start preparing your house, your parents' house, for the winter. And cabins as well, because when it comes to keeping all of your systems operating, especially these days at home or business, you got to have somebody who knows what they're doing. There are very few things that are going to surprise Ryan Plumbing when it comes to plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems. Reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. In St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in St. Paul. As you know, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning problems and systems. I guess I would say the big thing now is you got to get ready for your heating checks. I wouldn't do it now, but you want to call them and have them just run through everything and do your heating checks. I lived in a house that every year the furnace went out, and it would always go out when it was 25 below. And the problem with a furnace going out when it's really cold is it's going to cause other kinds of problems like frozen pipes. The other thing to check are the pipe connections outside. You got to make sure that they are not seeping because they're going to freeze too. So anyway, call Ryan Plumbing. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com, 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Think of most of this really as a series of thought starters for you to remember how your summer's been. Regardless, some of the people I talk to have been down in the heat in southwestern Arizona or Phoenix. Some of the people I talk to have been in the Midwest. Some of the people I've talked to have been way up north. So wherever you are, and whenever you hear this, it'll give you a chance to kind of think about the breeze, the trees, the sky, and what summer generally feels like. So as a nomad, spending most of the winter in Arizona, some people would think, well, that's endless summer. And I kind of thought of it that way, too, when I started out. But Arizona has a winter, and southwestern Arizona has a winter, but most of the time, southwestern Arizona in the winter feels like the best beautiful fall day that you've ever seen in Minnesota, Wisconsin, upper Midwest, North and South Dakota, let's say. All year, like late September, early October, even late October, that beautiful day when it's 65 degrees. That's what winter in Arizona feels like most of the time, which, you know, if you're from the north and you're used to 20 below, if you're from New Hampshire or Maine or, you know, any place in the northern tier way up, you're used to winter being just a... The best way I can describe winter is it's interesting and it's bracing until it becomes a tedious a tedious slog through this horrible cold. So in 23, I was called back to Minnesota in late March. I think it was around St. Patrick's Day. Got up to Minnesota, Wisconsin at the very end of March. And coming through southwestern Wisconsin, as I worked my way up to western Wisconsin, the northern tier of the state, there was no snow. It had just melted in the southern part of the state, but as I got up into the northern part of the state, it was still a lot of deep snow. The fields were still covered with snow. So I spent April and most of May in the shed, parked my truck in the big tractor shed, and got it out of the elements so that I could heat and sleep in it and be comfortable. And as the snow slowly melted away in May, that was kind of the beginning of my summer, even though that was spring. So I go way back to the snow slowly melt, the lake changing from slate gray to blue, and then finally to sort of a humid green. First field still covered with deep snow in late April, to bare fields, to fields being prepared to be planted, and then slowly and yet fast that bloom from just a hint of green to broadly bright green with the corn, and then a little bit darker green with the soybeans, and some of the gold fields with hay early in the year. In the farm districts and in the rural districts of this country, the ground doesn't care about politics. The ground doesn't care what year it is, really. It's just this process each year, from covered with snow to being prepared to be planted, and then the bloom of this incredible abundance. This year, we had a spring bear. We named her Joanne. and we didn't encounter her, although walking up the path one night, very late, dark, I heard a very low, deep growl, and that was my experience with Joanne, and it's very hard not to run. I screamed, and then I turned around and walked backwards, and then finally I hightailed it. I didn't run, but I walked pretty damn fast to get out of there. For us, this summer, this spring as it turned to summer, there was the opening and renewing of the cabin, and then clearing the thicket down below, which hadn't been cleared in 25, 30 years, maybe 40 years, maybe even more, of the undergrowth and the weak trees, and reopening that whole wooded area, which the thing that I remember about it was the smell. That, I guess, is the word is fecund, that smell of dirt and old leaves and branches and shredded wood from the tree shredders permeating the air down there. It was beautiful. To the first frogs, and to that slow coming on of the heat, especially in the Midwest, if you're from the South, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, that first heat is pretty significant. It isn't like that in the Midwest. It comes on very slowly, the first hot days. The thing I remember are the moons, the full moons, the feeling of, it also came on slowly. As this beautiful summer for me began to unfold, I just couldn't wait to get on the road. I will remember my fires. I had a fire every night from as soon as I got down to the flat by the lake. I had a big fire every night from late May till leaving on July 31st. Every night. It was amazing. Wonderful, the fires and the moons, and staying up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning just looking at the moon and the fires. And we had a great 4th of July fireworks, all the steak dinners by myself, with friends, with family, and I'd make gallons of coffee, and I'd sit up and I'd talk all night with friends on the phone. People would come down and see me on the glass smooth lake, which was interrupted only by spectacular storms. Even the little storms were spectacular. Double rainbows, a perfectly clear sky on one side and a beautiful giant thunderhead on the other. When the sun is setting on the thunderhead, it's really something to see. I don't care where you are. So those are the things that are going to stick with me. I took a lot of pictures. You can't take pictures of this. This is something that you feel. Summer is something that you feel. And as I've often discussed, it's something that resonates with someone going back to their childhood. And often the childhood resonance is more powerful than whatever's going on. I'm in my friend's house in New Hampshire, which reminds me of my grandmother's backyard in a lot of ways. It's so wet and has been so wet, although this is a sunny evening, 78 degrees. The angle of the sun has changed. It's very late summer, obviously. And the cool grass spreading out before you, the garden, a couple of chairs and a grill sitting here. It makes me think of sitting in my grandma's backyard with her rose bushes and the lawn beneath your bare feet. So that all gave way to preparations for travel. We'll talk about that in the second half of this podcast. One of the things that makes this backyard so great is the garden. There's some snap, what do they call those? Not snap peas, those are green beans over there. And there's some Brussels sprouts, peppers, there's some squash, and then there's some flowers and things like that. And then they've got a little house that's kind of The plan is to sort of fix the little house up so you can sit out there, but right now it's got all the gardening junk in it. But it's beautiful, and it's a peaceful place to sit and ponder, and we all need that. And if you would like to either create a garden or landscape a garden or get a garden prepared for next year, don't forget gardengurusmn.com. They do corporate accounts, they do individuals, and they can give you great rates. They'll explain it when they talk to you. gardengurusmn.com. You know, I love nomad life. I think it is unique because we don't stay in one place for very long. I mean, you know, I stayed what I consider to be a long time, 4 or 5 months in Wisconsin because of family things that had to be done. So that's just one of those givens. It's also one of the features of nomad life is that we are often pulled off the road by imperative. Mechanical imperative, family imperative, things happen. So you're not constantly traveling. A new wrinkle for me also is not running constantly, both because of the price of fuel, which is up and down. Also, I'm trying to stop and stay in places to get to know states that I don't know, to understand the people in those states and how they function and what they do and why they do what they do, what they sound like. That really interests me. I guess it was the beginning of July, I got the Travel Jones and I knew I was going to be going soon. And I began to make preparations for travel. Got all the mechanical stuff done, last few items that kind of delayed or I thought were going to delay me. Suddenly, I was ready on July 31st to go. We have a joke in the upper Midwest about saying goodbye, that people just can't say goodbye. And they keep trying to have dinners and come on over, come on, swing by before you go, because we just can't say goodbye. On the other hand, nomads don't, we've gotten good at saying goodbye. We just pack up and go, and that's our goodbye sometimes. So this time the goodbyes were not as earth-shattering and gut-wrenching as the goodbyes when I chucked it all and went out on the road 3 years ago, permanently. And then it was rolling through. This is probably the thing that I will remember the most about this summer. It wasn't the heat, obviously. I avoided most of it so far. It was rolling through these verdant green fields. As you know, it's back roads only. I refuse to take freeways. I have to take freeways every now and then, expressways, as we used to call them in Chicago. I try to stay away from major cities. I've gotten very good at being able to navigate around major cities using back roads. So the entire summer has been, and I'm in Manchester, New Hampshire. So it's Manchester is a city, but it's not like Boston or New York City, obviously. I've been able to avoid, this is the largest city I've been in the entire trip. So I avoided all the cities from Wisconsin down through Illinois, swinging well away from Chicago and Peoria all the way across through Indiana, avoiding Indianapolis and all those big towns in Indiana, on in through Ohio and Pennsylvania. It gets a little difficult in Ohio to avoid cities, especially the northern tier and the southern tier big cities in Ohio, which has quite a few big cities, on into Pennsylvania and New York State. All the time, just being in a sea of corn and soybeans and hay and wheat, snaking through small towns where they've had to build U.S. highways around graveyards that go back to the 1600s, on up into the Adirondacks, across Vermont, which I don't think Vermont really exists. I think Vermont is a dream, and I think you go through, I suppose the Senate delegation and the congressional delegation of Vermont knows there is a state, but it feels like some kind of time warp, picturesque dream. I have a friend who's from Vermont, and I ask him about it. He goes, well, you know, it's It was a nice place, but I'm glad I don't. I think he said something to the effect of, "I'm glad I don't live there anymore." I think it's a fantastic place, and I quite enjoyed going across Vermont this time, rolling a little north up into the White Mountains of New Hampshire, and then just recently, if you've been following the podcast, you know that I spent a lot of time in camping in the White Mountains. And what happened on this side of the country was that the jet stream basically just curves over when it gets to New Hampshire and Maine, and it has just been raining. And it's been warm, but it's just been raining. And so the effect is all of these amazing trees. We have different kinds of trees in the Midwest than you have here. I love the names of the trees here. Sugar maple, balsam fir, red maple, American beech, B-E-E-C-H, white pine, obviously the old maple, paper birch, flowering dogwood, white spruce, Norway spruce. Then you get into these hardwoods, birch, well, birch isn't a hardwood, but white ash, oak, and so forth. These wonderful names for trees. And of course, the trees themselves for me, especially after spending the winter in Minnesota, some of them are dark. The fir trees are dark green. The lighter green are the other kinds of trees. And there's all kinds of bushes, arborvitae and all these bushes that kind of are part of the undergrowth. And they have different colors of green. So we have all of these rich color greens all over the place. And New Hampshire is very much a rural state. There's a lot of different trees. I had one of the park rangers tell me that a heavy alkaline soil like they have in northern New Hampshire grows a different type of pine. So they have a different type of pine in the White Mountains way up than they do in other parts of the country, and it has to do with the acidic level or alkali level of the soil. So I'm learning a little bit about different places and different trees and things of that nature, and I really, really enjoy that. But for me, it's the people, and I don't think recording the people would tell the story. Because you carry the experience of the people with you. And my experience of people in Maine and New Hampshire, it's just as much a unique look as the people in Wisconsin versus the people in California or North Dakota or Nebraska or Southern Iowa. You know, people don't realize we've been forced to, and I've mentioned this before, to think of the United States as one thing. It's all one thing because every town has an Olive Garden, right? Every town has McDonald's. It's all the same. And when you view the country from the back roads, well, the first thing that hits you is how different just the highways are, the state highways, and the maintenance of the national highways through these states are different. They were built differently. They look different, built for different reasons in different states. The waterways are different. So physically, geography, the types of flora and fauna, if you're into that, I'm not. I'm just starting to learn about it, are all different. And the people are different. These states were settled differently. Families up here, some families up here in New Hampshire and Maine go back to before, they go back to the Mayflower, literally. They go back to the original settlers in this part of the country. Some of the parts of New York being settled in the 1820s and 30s, like fully settled, like Jamestown. I talked about, did a whole podcast about Jamestown, New York, which was, you know, an industrial town in the 1830s. Obviously they built Fort Snelling in Minnesota in 1820, and Father Hennepin, and were exploring and trapping and things of that nature in the 1820s in the Midwest, but it was pretty much a vast prairie at that time. So the concentration of the population of the country was in the Northeast, and it shows. But the people, they just look different to me. They're very much, I just feel like I'm at home and it's just regular people. They don't feel sophisticated in that sense. They seem very just salt of the earth And we've gone to, since I've been here, gone to a bunch of like sort of venerated seafood houses and restaurants that have been here for, you know, almost 100 years in some cases or more. And it's a great feeling just having regular fare, you know, the nothing sophisticated. There's no, I know they have really nice restaurants with the sort of hot cuisine or whatever you call it. But it's, you know, it's full-bellied clams, fried clams, you know, steamers, lobster, chowder, and a lot of rain. Rain, which is what brought me out of upstate New Hampshire back down here to Manchester, because I threw in the towel at some point. I just was like, this is, I'm sitting in the truck watching it rain, and that was not a ton of fun. Still preparing for the trip out west. A couple things I need to get looked at, you know, mechanically, which are no big deals. And the planning for the trip out west, big pieces to bite off in the return to Arizona. Now, I'm staying here until roughly the 17th of September because we have a family wedding. My nephew's getting married in Portsmouth. Or some people call it Portsmouth. Honest to God. We're going to Portsmouth to... Now, Portsmouth is like 1600s old. It's fascinating. And I think one of the things that's most prominent about these really old towns is they have really big graveyards because they've been burying people for so long. There's graveyards all over the place. So that adds to this sort of old, musty character of these places. But Portsmouth is a little bit of a harbor town. A lot of old buildings there. We're going to do the wedding there. And then I'm rolling out of town 17th or later on the 17th or the 18th, and heading diagonally across the country. So came across through the Midwest, we'll be going back across the Mid-South. I'll be rolling inland through Massachusetts and Pennsylvania, and probably turning down in western Pennsylvania somewhere. And I'm really looking forward to being in Tennessee and in Kentucky and places like that as the leaves are changing. They should be starting to change on the way out. So I have plenty of two-lane highways left, but this time in an abundance of color and during the harvest throughout September, at what feels to me like a pivotal time in a lot of ways. And then finally, the anticipation of getting back out to Arizona with my friends and looking forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas in the desert. And most importantly, the juniper fire. I can't wait for that. Well, I really didn't get into fuel prices in this podcast. I will leave that for future podcasts, but it always makes me think of independent refueling stations, and what comes to mind is 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated refueling station at 36th Street South and Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis, down with the neighborhood, get a better price on fuel and pass it on to people. Great stuff like Peace Coffee and local candy and locally sourced food in the store. Swing by, check them out, fill up, have some coffee, say hello. 36 Lynn. Check them out online at 36lynn.com or check out their Instagram feed at 36lynn on Instagram. So the objective here was for you to listen to this maybe in the depths of winter too, to jog your memory for all of the coverage of how hot it has been. The thing that drives me crazy about it is the feels like temperature. Somebody called me and said it was 114 today in Wisconsin, and I said, there's no way that it was 114. Well, it was 95, but it felt like 114. No, it felt like it was 95 with some humidity. Didn't feel like it was 100. I've had 114, and 95 is not 114. It's just interesting to me. Everyone competes to be the hottest place on the planet because I don't know why. It's hilarious. And yet, because of this life, it has been... I've been in temperate weather. In fact, even cooler weather throughout the summer. So it's been a normal temperate summer for me. So I'm actually looking forward to getting into some hot air. I may even go further south just to get that whole hurricane kind of feeling, that sort of impending storm. We'll see. There's lots of options on the way out. But I did this podcast so you can reflect on your own summer. And I'll tell you why. Because I think so much of the media coverage that many people watch day and night really fosters this sense of panic and fear and resignation when it's really been incredible. It really has. It's just been incredible. I hope you'll use it as a thought starter on that level. And thank you for listening to Podcast 1111, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Tastes like strawberries on a summer evening, and it sounds just like a song. I want more berries and that summer feeling. It's so wonderful and warm. Breathe me in, breathe me out. I don't know if I could ever go without. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if I could ever go without. Watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high. Watermelon sugar, sugar.